It's very true. We have a lot to thank the Lord for. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 26 with me this morning. Matthew chapter 26. Thank you for being here. Thank you for our visitors. Matthew chapter number 26. Look down to verse number 36. Matthew 26 and verse 36. The Bible says in Matthew 26, 36, says, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." This next little phrase up to the comma is the title of the message, and he went a little further. And the Bible says that he went a little further, and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." And he cometh unto his disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." And he came and found them asleep again, and their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Three times now he's done this. Verse 45, "Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed in the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at a hand that doth betray me." I want to talk to you just this morning about this idea of what we find there in verse number 39, "and he went a little further." That's interesting to me. In this context here, "he went a little further" just really means that he went geographically from one place. He took a few more steps and went to a further geographic place. I mean, he was in one location with them, and then it says that he just walked a little bit further and went to another place, and he stopped and he prayed there. And that's what we understand from this, looking at it. But I think you would agree with me that spiritually, not just geographically, not just physically, but spiritually, he also went further than anybody else would go. And this was the beginning. This really was the first stage of the going further. I mean, to the degree we would talk about, he'd already left heaven. He'd already left glory. He'd already come to earth. He'd already spent all these years now, some 33 and a half years, living this life on this earth, left glory, came to this place that's here, and lived amongst us for all those years. But now he was making a transition where he's about to go further than he had gone all the way up to this point. And he would go further from there and further from there and go further from there all the way to the very end. He would do it where he would hang on a cross and he would say, "It is finished." So he continuously went further. And I want to just kind of talk about that and then tell you how it can relate to us and our lives. Can I say, first, when he talks about it, he went further when he went to Gethsemane. Gethsemane. That was the further place that he went. He was already going pretty far, you would say, for everybody. He was just being used of people and healing and blessing and feeding and all the things he was doing, raising the dead, all the things he was doing. He was already going pretty far, you would agree. But now when he goes to the Gethsemane, he's going even further than he had gone before. And this place of Gethsemane, it's pretty interesting because that's a place of the wine press. It's a place where things were pressed. And this is the place where he's going to be pressed out of measure. He's going to be sorrowful, even to death. He's going to be pressed here in this place. This is the place where he's going to cry and he's going to pray and his tears are going to fall like great drops of blood. And this is a place where he is going to be alone. All of his disciples are in one place. He's traveled a little bit further. He's by himself. He's sorrowful. This is a place where he has to set aside the difficulty of the flesh and do what's the divine will of the Father. This is where he's going to do that at. You say, "But in the flesh," yes, he was God, but he was God in the flesh. And the flesh side of him was saying, "Listen, I'm not looking forward to going through this thing that I'm about to go through." But he said, "Not my will, but thine will be done." So he was laying aside what would been what we would talk about the flesh, and he was picking up what would be the divine will of the Father and finishing the will of God. This is also the place, Gethsemane is a place where he's going to be betrayed by one of his close friends. It's a very interesting place. He's being pressed out of measure in this place. So he went further in this place of Gethsemane. But the fact is, he went still even further. Because he didn't stop in Gethsemane. That wasn't the end of the story. The story goes further. He goes from Gethsemane. And it's very interesting, if you'll read through your Bible and the chronological event, all these places start with G. It's really interesting. But he goes to Gethsemane. That's the garden there where he prays for us. He prays for us. We talk about, I come to the garden alone where the dew is still in the roses. He went there. It was in the garden that he prayed for me, the song says. And that's what he did in Gethsemane. But then he goes farther and he goes to a place called Gabbatha. Gabbatha. That's the second place that he would go to, is a place called Gabbatha. This is a place where it's a raised place and it's a pavement. In John 19, 13, it says this, "When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and set him down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement." That's the name of it. It's called the pavement, capital P. But in the Hebrew, Golgotha is what it says there in John 19, 13. It lists it as a place called Gabbatha. You say, well, what took place there? Well, in the garden in Gethsemane, he was beaten for us. In the garden, he prayed for us. In the garden, he was betrayed for us. But then when you go to Gabbatha, this is a place where he was beaten for us. This is a place where he was spit on for us. This is a place where he was rejected for us. And this is the place where he was sentenced for you and me to die in our place. Gabbatha is a place where they set him up and the people all said, "Crucify him." And he said, "Well, you know, it's the common practice. We're going to release somebody to you on this day. Would you have us release Barabbas, the murderer, the one that we know is a murderer, and keep Jesus? Or are we going to release Jesus?" He's looking for an opportunity to release Jesus, Pilate was. And the people said, "Release Barabbas, that murderer, and crucify Jesus in the murderer's place. You give him the punishment that was due the murderer and let the murderer go." See, that was the substitutionary plan of God. He was going to die in place of the murderer. You know, people always say all the time, they say, "Well, I'm not really that bad a person." You say, are you a sinner in need of a Savior? "I'm not really that bad a person. I've never murdered anybody." You ever heard anybody say that before? "I've never murdered anybody." The fact is, the real truth of the matter is this: you are a murderer. And the fact that your sin is what placed Jesus Christ on the cross. He died in place of the murderers of this world. And so that's what we see in this place of Gabbatha. He is beaten. He is mocked. He is rejected. He's sentenced in our place to die in our stead. And the real sinner is released, and the one that knew no sin, all the sin is placed on him. In 1 Peter 3:18 it says this, "For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust." You see, Jesus was the just and we were the unjust. Jesus was the not guilty. Barabbas was the guilty. We are the guilty and Jesus is the unguilty. It says the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. See, he went to Gethsemane, but he still went further and went to Gabbatha. But the story doesn't end there, because he went to Gethsemane where he prayed for us. He went to Gabbatha where he was sentenced for us. But then he goes even further. The Bible says that he goes to Golgotha. In Matthew chapter number 27, look at Matthew 27, look at verse number 33. He goes to Golgotha, Matthew 27, verse number 33. "And when they were coming to a place called Golgotha," that is to say, a place of the skull. So he went to Gethsemane where he prayed for us. He went to Gabbatha, where he was beaten for us and sentenced for us. He went to Golgotha, where he died for us. He paid the ultimate price for us. It's a place of the skull. It's a place of death. See, the first one was a place of squeezing, of pressing. The next one was a place of judgment. And this one's the place of the skull. It's a place of death, where he died in our place for our sins. But he didn't stop there, because that's not the end of the story. You know this. He doesn't stop in Golgotha, but he goes from Golgotha, he goes to the grave. In Matthew 27, look at verse number 57. "And when the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in clean linen cloth and laid it in his own tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed." So he went to Gethsemane where he prayed for us. Now watch this now. He went to Gethsemane. He prayed for us there. He went to Gabbatha, where he was sentenced for us. He went to Golgotha, the place of the skull where he died for us. But then he went even further than there. He went to the grave, where he arose for us. You say, what's interesting about that? Well, it's because he arose from the dead that we have the ability to arise from the dead. All these things are important. See, him being pressed out of measure for us and sorrowful for us and praying for us, that was important for us. And then going on to being sentenced for our death, that was important for us. And then going even further. You say, well, I would have stopped just in the praying in the garden. Yeah, but he went even further than the garden and went to Golgotha. And then he was sentenced. And he went even further than that, the place where he was sentenced, and went to Golgotha and died for us. But then didn't even stop there. He went even further and went to the grave where he arose for us. And those are important things for us to understand about him going further. We know that he went to the grave, but what's interesting is he didn't stay in the grave. That's the good part. He arose after the third day. And his resurrection actually provides a lot for us, because it gave us victory over death, over hell, and over the grave. Because he was victorious over death, hell, and the grave, we're victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And in 1 Corinthians 15:55, it makes this statement about, after talking about the resurrection. Chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians is all about the resurrection, the entire chapter. He said, if Christ did not arise from the dead, then everything about us is in vain. Our faith is in vain. Everything's in vain. It's all empty if Christ did not rise from the dead. But he ends up the whole chapter of 15 with saying this: if Christ arose from the dead, then you also will arise from the dead. Amen. And he says in verse number 55 of chapter 15, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. If we put our faith in Jesus Christ, sin has no longer any power over us. The law has no more power over us, but we've conquered sin, death, and the grave. We've all conquered it. It's already been conquered. And so he went further. He went to one place, but then he went further, and then he went further, and he went still yet further, ended up in the grave. But see, that's not even the end of the story. Because we would be in trouble if that's just the end of the story, even the resurrection. But the place that he went next, he went further and he went on to glory, the Bible says. And in 1 Timothy 3:16, it says this: and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. This whole process, again, he was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on the world. And then it ends up with this: and received up into glory. Amen. Went back to the Father. You say, well, what does he do there? Well, in Hebrews 7:25, it says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever, watch this now, he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He's always, constantly making intercession for us before the Father. That's what he's doing in glory. You see, all these stages were important. Gethsemane was important. Gabbatha was important. Golgotha was important. The grave was important, and then glory was important. That's where he's making intercession. The priest would make intercession for the people. The high priest would. But now Jesus is our high priest, and he's making intercession for us on a regular basis. And see, all these things, he just kept going further and further and further and further and further. I think that's important for us to understand that, especially when you consider, look at Hebrews chapter number 12 with us. We look at this verse quite often, and I just want to give you a thought from Hebrews chapter 12 with all of that as the background of how he went further through all the stuff he went through. Folks, to be honest with you, I would have stopped a long ways back there if it had been me doing this. And there's some great men in the Bible, and a lot of them, they wouldn't have gone as far as Jesus went. Jesus went further than anybody could go and anybody has gone. He went further. But I want you to see something, because Hebrews 12 talks about the life story of several people, all the places they went in life and the journey that they made through life. And then when it ends up chapter 11 of Hebrews and it goes into chapter 12, he starts off chapter 12 by saying, wherefore? He's saying, looking back at all the people, all their life stories, how they journeyed and they continued on and went further than most people would have gone, he goes on and says this: wherefore, seeing we also have compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Even now, looking back at the great example of all the people that have gone on and gone further for the cause of Christ, he says, now you do the same. That's what he's saying. Now watch what he says. here's the way that you would do this. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, watch this next word, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now watch this next phrase. This is an important one. Consider him. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Now watch this next one. Lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. He's saying, look at how far Jesus went and how he continuously went further, even though it was through enduring some things, even though there was a lot of contradiction, a lot of people against him as he went, he continued on the course and went further. And now he's saying for us, you need to look at the same example so that you continue and you go further so you don't faint in your own minds. When you get to the place you say, yeah, well, listen, I can go this far, but I just don't really think I can go much further in this thing. He's saying, what he's saying here is essentially is watch Jesus and how he continued to go and you go further as well. You understand how tough it is. Folks, can I tell you, compared to Jesus, that's why he said consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners. He's saying you haven't had to do that yet. That's what the next verse down is saying. Verse number 4, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. You haven't had to do the same thing that Jesus did. Jesus had a whole lot worse than we've got, and he's saying through the power of Jesus Christ, why don't you just go a little further as well? Let me tell you something, folks. Watch, I know there's food going on out there, but there's way too many people getting up and walking around. That needs to stop. It's distracting me. I won't be able to get the message out. So stay seated if you can. If you can't, get up. But if you can, stay seated. It'll help me out a whole lot. All right, so what he's doing, he says, consider him. Watch him. Look at him. Look at how he went through all these things and went further and further and further. And do the same yourself. Go further. Now, I think it's interesting if you can look at with me and just think with me of some of the areas where Jesus went further. Some of the areas where Jesus went further. And I think this would be helpful for us in our own life. In the next 15 minutes, let me just tell you some areas that I think Jesus went further that maybe we need to consider Christ and go further ourselves. The first one's a very easy one. You can see this very plainly. Even from what we've read so far, I think Jesus went further in his love. I think Jesus went further in love than anybody else has gone. His love, folks, I tell you something, it wasn't the nails, everybody's heard this before, it wasn't the nails that held Jesus Christ to the cross, right? It was the love that he had for us that nailed him to the cross. They kept him on the cross. He said, I could have called a legion of angels. I could have called thousands of angels to come down here and do this. In fact, when Pilate was telling him there at Gabbatha, when Pilate was saying, listen, I can deliver you or I can spare you, and he says, no, you have no power to do anything except the Father give you that power. He said, he could have foregone all that, but the Bible says that he kept on going because of his great love for us. His love is what did this. The Bible says in Romans 5:7, but scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Anybody would say, listen, for a good person, Brother Josh, you're a good guy. And so I would say, but you know, for a good person like Brother Josh, I'd give my life in support of Brother Josh. I'd give my life in exchange for him. But you bring in some drug dealer, some murderer, and you bring them in and set them in here, and you said, what about for this person? Would you give your life for that person? You might say, well, for Brother Josh, I might would give my life, but not for somebody like that. Right? We would all say that. But see, Jesus went further in his love. In the sense that he didn't just come and die for, you say, well, he came and died for all those religious people, those good people. No, no, no. He came and died for sinners like you and me. That's what he came and died for. That's what his purpose was. And so for us, we say, well, I can love this much, but I don't know that I can really love that much. I don't know if I could go that much further in love. And see, that's the thing. Can I tell you something? Love sometimes becomes inconvenient. But it's in those times we get to go further in love, even when it's inconvenient for us. Don't you think it was inconvenient for Jesus? But he went further in love. In the Bible, we're encouraged to love people that same type of love, to go further like Jesus went in love. In 1 John 3:16, it says this. We all know John 3:16, for God so loved the world. But 1 John 3:16 says this, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. That's how we know the love of God. We understand it because he commended his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He commended his love. And so that's how we understand his love. Hereby we perceive the love of God because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That's what he's saying. We ought to give of ourselves towards the brethren in love. But whoso hath this world's goods and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? And this is what he says in verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. You know, folks, it's easy. It's easy to say, I sure do love you. I love you. I sure appreciate you. I sure love you. It's easy to say that. That just, look, it just rolls off the tongue so nice. But it's different to actually do something for somebody and show love to people. That's why he spent the whole time, Paul did in 1 Corinthians 13, and just devoted a whole chapter to somebody that's saying, look at me. I can look at all the languages I can speak. Look at all the faith that I've got. And he says, you know what? All that is nothing if you don't have charity, which is love in action. We can't see your love. All those words, all those things that you say you can do, that sounds really great, brother. But how about you doing something for others? That's love. And so he's saying, going further in this thing of love. I want you to read for you from C.S. Lewis. It says this, and the idea is this, if I go further in love, I may get hurt. I may get hurt if I extend myself in love towards somebody. Now watch what he says. He says, to love at all is to be vulnerable. It's to be vulnerable. To love people is to be vulnerable. Love anything and your heart will certainly be wrung and possibly be broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give your heart to no one, not even to an animal. Wrap it carefully around with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in a casket or a coffin of your selfishness. But in the casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, It will change. It will be broken. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. Now watch this now. The only place outside heaven where you can be perfectly safe from all dangers of love is, guess, hell. It's the only place. Somebody says, I don't want to invest my love because if I invest love, I may get hurt. You might. You might. But there's another really good saying that says this, whosoever loves much does much. And you can't accomplish very much without love. And see, Jesus accomplished so much because he went further in love. He went further in love. So we talk about love, his love. He went further in that, and we use that as an example. Consider him in his love, but consider him also in his obedience. His obedience. He made the statement in Matthew 26:39, he says, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Not as I will, but as thou wilt. His obedience. We're encouraged in the Bible to have the same type of mind of Christ when it comes to our obedience. In Philippians 2:5, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion of man, you know the next phrase, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Became obedient. God became obedient in the flesh. It's interesting. He went further in his obedience than we would go. Further in his obedience. There's a story about a man that owned a company. And in his company, he got it going really well. And then he left for a little while. And he said, listen, I'm going to go. And while I'm gone, I'm going to write letters. And I'm going to send these letters back. And it's going to tell you exactly how I want you to run the company, exactly what needs to be done to make sure the company stays profitable, to make sure the company keeps going the way it's supposed to go. I'm going to send you the letters. And he did. He sent them regularly. He sent letters all the time, sent them back for them to watch how it was supposed to go and keep the company running well. Well, after a couple of years, he came back. And when he showed up, pulled up in the parking lot, and he got there, there was weeds growing in the flower beds. It was a cracked window at the front. He walked in, and he could see a heap of horse playing and messing around. The secretary was asleep. He pulled open the books, and they had a drastic decline. They lost money. And he came to me and said, what have y'all been doing? Haven't y'all been getting the letters? They said, oh, yeah, we've been getting the letters. All those letters are so good. You know, we actually get together every Sunday, and we read those letters. They're amazing letters. I'm telling you, those are the best letters we've ever read. In fact, what we've done is we've taken all your letters, we put them all in a book, And we keep that book here in the office, and we read from it every Sunday. You know, some of our employees, they've even memorized your letters. These are the greatest letters. He said, yeah, you love them, and you put them in a book, and you memorize them, and you talk about them every Sunday when you get together. But has anybody ever tried just doing something out of the letter? He said, if you'd have done something with it, the company wouldn't be in such sad shape that it is right now. So, oh, no, we never do anything with the letters. We just really enjoy reading the letters. They're really nice. See, it's the same thing when it comes to the Bible. Somebody says, well, I love the Bible. It's God's Word. We come to Sunday every week, and we look at the Bible, and we talk about the Bible, and we sing songs about the Bible, and well, the Bible's good. I've even memorized a lot of the Bible. But God's wondering, are you doing anything with what you're reading? You see, that's the important thing. To keep this business running, the life, our own Christian life, it's got to be filled with the Word of God. And so we got to go further when it comes to obedience. Because here's what happens to a lot of people. You say, well, I can be obedient as long as it's not inconvenient. Can I tell you something? The obedience of Christ, when he was there in the garden, he said, not what I will, but what thou wilt. That was inconvenient for Jesus. But he was obedient. And see, for some of us, we'd say, listen, preacher, if you've got me to the point where I'll come to church. Now, I'll come to church. I'll come on Sundays. But listen, don't ask me to read my Bible every week. I just don't have time for that. It's just really inconvenient for me to read my Bible. So, preacher, listen, I'll come to church and I'll read my Bible, but don't ask me to give a tract to somebody. That's just inconvenient for me. What we're saying is you got to go further. Just like Jesus went further in obedience, going further in obedience. Well, preacher, listen, I'm good with coming to church. I'm good with reading my Bible. I'm even good with passing out tract. But don't ask me to give money towards the things that we're doing here at the church. That's just inconvenient for me. I saw a little thing that was on the computer the other day. It was so funny. Is people can get up early to go out for the big sales on Black Friday. But then when it comes to church, they say, oh, it's just way too early in the morning to be getting up and going to church. See, our priorities are somewhat messed up. And so when it comes to this thing, obedience, well, you know, listen, preacher, I'll come to church and I'll read my Bible and I'll pray and I'll pass out a tract and I'll give to the things, but listen, don't ask me to do something like surrender to go to the mission field or serve. I'm not going to do that. That's just inconvenient for me. Well, I thank God that God just went past the inconvenience and was just obedient and went to the cross for our sake. See, that's the thing, is he went further in his love than we sometimes go. He went further in his obedience, and we need to be just like him and going further in those areas as well, in our love and our obedience. Let me give you a couple more. In serving others. What he did for other people. He didn't do this for himself. He did this for others. I read you the verse a while ago in 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. Now, what did he do it for? The next part of that verse says this, that he might bring us to God. The things he did it so he could bring you, sitting in the pew, you and me standing up here, that he could bring us to God. He inconvenienced himself and went to the things that he did for a purpose. It was for others. He did it for others. And then we're encouraged to go further our own selves in this thing of doing, serving for others. The same place in Philippians 2. In Philippians 2, in verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. And he went down a little bit further and he said he became a servant. A servant. Now, it was inconvenient for Jesus to be a servant of all. Can you imagine God serving man, his creatures that he created? In John 13, remember what he did? Y'all remember this. After supper was over, he got a towel and wrapped it around himself, and he got down and he got those dirty fishermen's feet. Those men had been walking all those years with him. And they're not wearing the nice stuff that we're wearing. They're wearing sandals. Their feet are dirty and filthy and nasty. They may have had an ingrown toenail or two. I don't see that in the scripture anywhere, but there may have been some nastiness to those feet. And then he got those feet, and what did he do? He washed their feet. You say, God washed man's feet? Yeah, you're thinking just like Peter did. Peter said, no, don't wash, you ain't washing my feet. You know what? We get mad at Peter, but I'd have said the same thing. There's no way God's washing my feet. And Jesus said, listen, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. He says, well, hey, stop, wash everything then. See, that's why I like Peter. You know what he did? God humbled himself, became a servant, and washed people's feet. And he said this, I've done this for an example to you. Amen. He said, I'm your master. John 13 said, I'm your master. And you call me master, and rightfully so. He said, but I want you to see that if you want to be the greatest, you'll serve all. And then in Philippians 2, he makes this statement. And he says here, this is different thinking than the world thinks. This is different than the way the world thinks. This is different than the way the military thinks sometimes. But the idea here is if you want to be the greatest, you be the greatest servant of all. And you go further. Go further in your love. Go further in your obedience. Even when it's uncomfortable. I don't really like doing what I'm about to do. Just be obedient anyway. I don't really feel like loving this person. Just love them anyway. And I don't really feel like serving these people. Yeah, but just serve them anyway. Just serve them anyway because Jesus served. There's a famous poem that says this, Lord, let me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I stop to pray, my prayer would be for others. Others, Lord, yet others, let this my motto be that I may live for others, that I may live like thee. Can I tell you something? Serving other people is not always going to be convenient. Well, let me tell you, sometimes people call me and say, can you come do this for me? And I'm thinking, I was right in the middle of doing something else that I wanted to do. But they want me to go do something for them. And sometimes it's inconvenient. And just like the thing with love, sometimes we say, well, if I do this, I'm going to be used. I may get hurt. I may have to do something I don't really like to do. I may have to get dirty. Jesus got dirty. Why? Because he wanted to serve others. So what he says in Hebrews, he says, on your course of life, why don't you consider Jesus for a change? Think about him as you're running this race. He went further in his love. He went further in his obedience. And he went further in serving others. Let me just tell you another one here. He went further in forgiveness. On the cross, he made the statement, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. Folks, let me tell you something. The natural man would never do something like that. He was not there because he did something wrong. He was there because they did something wrong. He did nothing. And he was still placed on that cross. In fact, the Bible says in Luke 23:34, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. He's saying, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do while they're dividing up his clothes. True forgiveness is hard to extend because it demands that people let go of something they value. Not a piece of jewelry, a watch, but pride, perhaps a sense of justice or a desire for revenge. And we're told to have the same type of forgiveness as Jesus had. In Ephesians 4:32, it says this, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Going further in forgiveness. You say, listen, I can forgive this, but I just don't know if I can forgive that. There's a story, it's been on the news, you've seen it lately, about the preacher up in Indiana, and the guys broke in and they killed his wife while he was gone. He was exercising 6 o'clock something in the morning. He went to the gym, and while he was gone, some men had been breaking into houses. They broke into their house. Anybody seen this on the news lately? They broke into his house. His wife was there, and their one-year-old, and she was, I think, 12 weeks pregnant at the time. And they broke in the house, and they killed her. And stole ATM cards, stuff like that. That girl went to Prince William Christian College because a lady that I know went to school with her. And, you know, what's interesting, it's happening right now. I don't know how I'd respond. I've never gone through something as intense as that. But the preacher that's responding to that, you know what he's responding with? He says, I choose forgiveness, and I choose to pray for these men, and I choose love. Unbelievable. Unbelievable statement. That's what he came out in the news and said. They found the two guys that did it. They found the guy that shot her. He said that she had ran at him, so he shot her while in the house. And so he lost his wife and his unborn baby. He says, I choose forgiveness. Yeah, that can only come from somebody that's filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. And see, that's what going further, you say, but you don't know, this person hurt me. You know what he said in Hebrews? Consider Christ, who endured such contradiction of sinners. He said, you have not resisted like that yet. And so the idea here is going further. Peter, or I forget which one of the apostles asked him, one of the disciples asked him, somebody did, says, how many times should we forgive? He said, 7 times. He said, no, 7 times 70. Just forgive and forgive and forgive. You see, but it's hard. I can forgive. Listen, here it is. Watch this now. I can love this much, but you're asking me to love somebody that's really unlovable. I'm telling you, go further like Jesus did. I can be obedient this far, but you're asking me to do something that's out of my comfort zone. Be obedient like Jesus did. I can serve people, but now, everybody ever come to and say, Lord, use me. And then you come to the altar later on and say, Lord, help me, because now they're using me and I don't like it. Serve like Jesus served. And then when it comes to this thing of forgiveness, it's forgiving like Jesus forgave. How many of you, by show of hands, how many of you are glad that Jesus forgave you? All right, now he says, go forgive others. But you don't know what they did. I can only go this far. I'm telling you, go a little bit further with forgiveness. And then just lastly, let me just tell you this. We're done. He went further in faith. He went further in faith. All this thing in Hebrews chapter 11 is just stories of people of faith. Hebrews chapter 11 is people that had a journey of faith. And they went all the way to their end by faith. You know what's amazing to me in this story of faith? Some of the different backgrounds of the people that were there. Some of the things they went through, like Noah. You can hear the rain hitting right now, but Noah, not knowing what rain is yet, he's building an ark. He doesn't even know what he's doing. He's just building an ark. He's building a big boat. And everybody is saying, you're crazy. But he just kept on doing it anyway. He just kept going further. Watch now, by faith, he just kept going further. And then Abraham, and if Abraham would have been in this day and time, his wife would have beat him up on the side of the road at some point. Because he left his house and he started journeying. He did not even know where he was going to be moving to. He packed up the house, put it in the U-Haul camel, got it all ready, and they're taking off. And his wife said, what do I put in the GPS? He says, I don't even know yet. Let's just travel east and let's just figure it out. Let's go south. We'll figure it out until we get there. God will say, stop. Wait a minute. I'm not going anywhere with you until you tell me where we're going. By faith, he just went further. He just kept going. You go through all the stuff. You look at Sarah. And Sarah, who should have said, you know what, God, I just give up on you and this whole plan of having a child. I just give up on you. She just kept going further. God blessed. Said she counted him faithful. He was able to do what he had promised he would do. You look at some of the others that we can relate to a little more closely. Rahab the harlot. Said, but you don't know my past, preacher. I can only go so far because of how wicked my past has been. Rahab the harlot kind of debunks that. Because she went further by faith. You say, but yeah, but I've messed up. I was going really, really, really good, and then I messed my life up. Samson's in that list as well. By faith. Just went further by faith. All those people by faith. David, great kings. And then he goes on, he just didn't even name the people. He just says they just did great things because they just kept going further by faith. Just kept going. And all this stuff that we have the blessings of Gethsemane and Gabbatha and Golgotha, and the grave, and glory. All those things we've got. You know why we got them? Because of the faith of Jesus Christ. Amen. And this is why the Bible says in Galatians 2, and Paul is making this statement, Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith, watch this now, not by the faith in Christ. It's not what it says. It's what it says. But by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. By the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. You say, how did I get justified? I put my faith and trust in what Jesus did by faith. He went to the cross by faith and died. All the stuff he did, coming here, living the life he lived, going to the garden and praying, not my will but thine, that was all by faith. Going to that judgment and saying, listen, you have no power over me. It's all up to God. That's what he told Pilate. It was all by faith. Going to that cross and being nailed to the cross and looking down at his mother and saying to John, now John, you take care of my mother, and mother, you're now with John, and Father, forgive them, and giving up the ghost, all that was done by what? Faith. Everything was done by faith. And you put your faith and your trust in what Jesus Christ did by faith, and you have eternal life. Amen. And now he's asking you, in this Hebrews chapter 11, and then chapter 12, he's asking you, just keep going further by faith. Just keep going further by faith. I don't know where you're at today, but I like the fact that when Jesus got to the end of this whole thing, he said, it is what? Finished. He went all the way to the end. Paul made the same statement. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. And at the end of this whole thing, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love is appearing. That just keep on going for Christ. I don't know where you're at. I really don't. But can I tell you this? If you've hit a stumbling block, you feel like, I don't know if I can go much further with my love or my obedience or my forgiveness or my serving of others. I don't know if I can go much further in my faith. Can I just ask you just to take another step further? Just one more step further. Let's stand on our feet. Miss Laura is going to come and play. I remember going to a military school one time. It was an assessment in Virginia and in West Virginia. And while I was there, every day I'd get up and we'd walk, and we'd walk probably 12 miles or so, and you climb all these mountains there in Pennsylvania and stuff like that. Every day when I got back from that assessment, I felt terrible. It was snowing. I fell in a river a couple times, and it was ice cold. One time I was trying to do all my map reading and walking by terrain association, didn't even pull out my compass. I was just going by, and I got so far off the map. I was off one map and onto a different map. And they had to come out and find me with a helicopter, and they did, and they had to, on the radio, tell me where I can go to find a motorcycle, and they'd take me from there back to a truck to take me back to the camp. And every day when I got back at this deal, it was 26 days, every day when I got back, I said, I'm quitting. This stunk. I feel terrible. My legs, I had big sores on the back of my feet where it was just raw. And I'd put so much moleskin, some of you know what I'm talking about, I put so much moleskin on the back that all my toes got raw because it pushed my foot forward. And my feet were just hamburger meat. I was sick, and I kept falling in the river. And it was ice cold. And every day I would say, I quit. And the next morning I'd get up and I'd say, well, I'll just go one more day. And I'd get back on the truck. And I'd get on the truck, and it'd be SF guys and Ranger guys. I saw one big Ranger guy. This guy was huge. And he got on the truck one day, and he threw his rucksack in the truck. And he looked at one of the guys who was there, and he said, I voluntarily withdraw. He quit. I guarantee you that guy could have made it. He just quit. And I kept saying to myself, you know what? I'm going to quit too. And I'd say, you know, I'm just going to give it one more day. Just one more day. And finally, one day, I pulled up at the end of the trip. And I didn't have to say it was finished. They said, it's finished. You're not who we're looking for. You can go back home. But you know what? I was glad. I was glad that I didn't quit. I got to where they said, it's time for you to quit and go back. And I can just tell you this. I don't know where you're at, but I can tell you this. You need to just go one more day. Amen. Say, I just don't feel like doing it. Just go one more day. And tomorrow, when you get to the end of that day, say, I'm just going to go one more day. And just keep going until Jesus says, it's finished. Amen. It's finished. Lord God, Father, we ask you to bless now and help us as only you can. Touch the hearts of people that are here. Father, help us to continue to go further with you. Father, you're worthy of everything we can do for you. You're worthy of our love. You're worthy of our obedience. You're worthy of our serving of others. Father, you're worthy of forgiveness, of us forgiving others because you've forgiven us. Father, you're worthy of our faith and us being faithful to you and faithful to things you've asked us to do. And so, Father, I pray that you do like Jesus and just finish our course and like Paul did and finish the course. Father, I pray you'd help the one here that's closest to just throwing up their hands and saying, I quit. I pray that they would throw their hands up and say, I surrender to you. And let you carry them the rest of the way. Father, help us this morning. Father, bless. If there's someone that's lost this morning, does not know you as their Savior, I pray they'd get saved this morning. And those of us that are living for you, help us to continue to go further with you. In Jesus' name, amen. What page? Page number 3.